I was reading about Charles Wesley the other day, and he used to ask his brother John to edit some of his songs or poems, and they're almost prayers really, and John described them as some were good, some were mediocre, and some were exemplary. And he was kind of a good critic, I think, but that is exemplary, isn't it? If you can just understand a word or a sentence of it, it can feed your heart. Wonderful truth. He used to have to write in shorthand on his horseback. Can you imagine that? He'd often get chased out of villages or things thrown at him, but he had a way of writing these down. You don't think he just had a pen and paper on his horseback. It was a shorthand he used to use. I find that amazing. And then he'd go back to his room and then write out the poems or the prayers. Wonderful, isn't it? I think he had to do that. What a feast this morning. It's often hard to speak when there's been such a lovely move of the Lord Jesus, that the Lamb is here. He's very present. I was sat there thinking, what a Lamb. What a wonderful Lamb he is. If you struggle with things in church, concentration, or you don't understand, get a glimpse of the Lamb. It kind of brings your whole emphasis and your outlook on what the Lord has done. Wonderful. He's forgiven us all our sins. And I really felt strongly this morning that the Lamb is here. And he loves his people. Isn't that true? Wonderful. Also, I was sat there thinking about the strong winds. Thinking about people that have got to work out there today. Keep them safe. But also I was thinking about Acts. When there was a strong rushing wind, the sound of, isn't there? I was thinking, oh, what a time that would have been. Just when the Lord really poured out. And I'm still thinking about and hearing about last Sunday morning. What a wonderful message it was. It was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't actually in this room. I was in the office, having to keep my ankle up because it had swollen up because of an injury. Football related again, sorry. But as I was in that room, I wasn't with you. But do you know what? I felt this such connection that the Lord's Spirit was in this room and working. Isn't that true? It was so clear. Wonderful, the time of prayer for healing. And I had stretched out my hand and tried to reach my own ankle, which I've just nearly damaged. But I was in that little room and I just couldn't quite reach my ankle. But oh Lord, there was something wonderful. The Lord's Spirit, if it's contained too much and you squeeze it out, you lose so much. And it was just so fresh last Sunday. And it gives you food for the week to chew on. Plenty of food here. Thinking about Norman Armenia, he mentioned the word there, hungry. Are you hungry here today? Are we hungry in the West here? I just want to speak this morning on spiritual gifts. Am I an expert? You know, the danger of when you're talking about spiritual gifts is that we can actually start looking horizontally. We mustn't. I mustn't. We must look to the Lord, but they are fundamental to the church and the function of the body. Did you hear the prophecy earlier on about the broken wings? Did you hear that? I believe that the Lord was speaking through that. Those with broken wings, he can make whole. Isn't that amazing that we've actually heard that this morning? Spiritual gifts aren't for the intellectual, for the intellectual. They are for them, but they're for all. Just turn with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different places in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. There's Ephesians 4 that mentions them in some ways from Christ, the gifts from Christ. And in Romans 12, spiritual gifts from God, and they're all one, but they mention it, and also in Corinthians. And I just want to read this chapter 12. when I first thought about speaking on this, I got really scared. But then I read this first verse. It says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And it hit me straight in the face. Often we can be ignorant when we don't understand something. And I want to understand them. In some ways, reading around them and being in meetings that we are in, you do experience and know the spiritual gifts that God gives His children. And they're amazing. It's what brings function to the body. If you don't understand something, it's easy to become ignorant. It says now, verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Isn't that wonderful? "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills." Isn't that amazing? I find that the function of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the church is He's given us good gifts. I've done lots of homework and I've looked into different church settings and different meetings and the ways denominations do different things. One of the things that really, in some ways, not so much grieves, but you feel a bit discouraged, is that many meetings are geared towards squeezing out these wonderful gifts. I stand by it as well. I'll stand by it. I've done some homework. They squeeze it out. So everything is pretty much all in order. Order. And it's squeezed out. And we don't have this wonderful thing of being able to be challenged through stepping out in faith to exercise these wonderful gifts that the Lord has given. They are to profit all. Where are they from? God. His choice. But I've looked into it. I've looked at different services. And there's something that just aches in your heart, thinking, actually, these are for everyone. They really are. And as I say it, I don't want to at all this morning bring this thing of that we've got to start looking horizontally. Like, oh, are they? Oh, God, wow, look. It's not that at all. It's this amazing vertical thing of the Lord is in control. He gives the gifts to His church. It's sad that many, in some ways, gatherings together squeeze it out so there's no room. There's nothing wrong with sometimes the time of silence, where the Lord is just breathing out into His church and waiting for someone just to reach out and touch the garment or to step out in faith. Do you remember the first time maybe you prayed out openly? You're a quivering wreck. And then the word that came out made no sense. But it was in that the Lord rushes in, brings an assurity that I heard your prayer, boy. Same with these spiritual gifts. I don't want to be ignorant of them. There are many functions. Let me just read. I wrote down all these gifts here. Romans 12, prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy, that hymn we just sung there. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy again, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Why did He bring interpretation of tongues? Simple, isn't it? So we can understand them. Amazing that, isn't it? Do you know, in Corinth at the time, there was total confusion. There was total, the background of this letter, there was confusion. The Holy Spirit brings order. Not a regimented order, not with strict laws. He just brings order where you can listen to what someone's just said through the Lord speaking. And then there's an interpretation. What's the other thing that interpretation is for? Edifying. And another thing, what about if someone comes through that door, doesn't know anything about the Lord? Isn't that, the Lord has thought this through. It's amazing. Isn't it? Oh, sorry, you don't... But I find that if I invited someone in amongst us, I'm being very normal and down to earth, they can come in. And the Lord, in his amazing omniscience of knowing all things, he can speak through that, through you and I, just exercising faith. And the person that comes through that door can just pick up the Lord's voice. That's amazing. It really is. Is it confined to 10:30 to 12:30 on a Sunday? No. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. How many times, I mean, it does happen, doesn't it? I want it to happen more. As a young lad, I wanted to have that gift of healing. I'm being dead open and honest. In the church in Exeter, there were those that were ill and sick. I so wanted the Lord to touch them. I just wanted to be able to place the hand on and say, Lord, make them well. And now I do in faith. But isn't that just being exercised? Now this morning, all I want to do is in some ways to encourage you that the Lord has given us good gifts. We've heard them this morning. We really have. Isn't it wonderful? Did I get through my list? No, I didn't. Miracles, healing, helping, administrating, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastors, teachers, speaking, serving. What a list. What a list. I don't want those things quashed. We want them to be exercised, don't we? What are they for? To glorify God. The thing we must remember, they are to glorify God. Oh Lord. What is the purpose or value of gifts? Firstly, to glorify God. He has given us his Spirit that we might manifest through us his glory and power. The gifts are to profit the body of the church, edify all. That's wonderful, isn't it? How do we receive the gifts? Now, if I asked a child here this morning, they would just say, I'd ask. Isn't that true? Yeah, I want that. Yeah. I'll ask. Lord, would you... What do we sometimes do? Am I, oh, am I worthy? Oh, but I did that on my... Oh, I've got to do an exam to get the... We can go round and round and you've almost lost the thing of faith. The little flame that comes and stirs our hearts. Oh, that's why he does say come in a childlike way, doesn't he? There is that thing of just asking, Lord... Precious Lord, it says here, we are exhorted to covet earnestly the best gifts. Isn't that true? Talks about it later on in Corinthians. We must ask for it. Why? For the function of all, that the Lord would be glorified amongst us. So blessed this morning. Can you hear it? Can you hear the words, even people that haven't said anything? I can almost, there's something of the Holy Spirit that just connects. Wonderful, it's life. Oh, it keeps you going in that week. It really does when you're in mould. I'm really sorry if anyone does live there that's here this morning. It's a great town, it's a market town that has great market day on Wednesday. Oh, but these things are very much life. When you're in your workplace and someone is talking with you about something in their life, there's something where some of these gifts are relevant there. They are. They're not just for us as peacocks to show our feathers off on a Sunday morning. These are real. They're life. boy, does the world just need sometimes the whisper of the Lord for words of wisdom. Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge are basically this. And it's taken me my mind a while to get used to it, but and understand it, is that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Now, he delights in sharing facts to us, his people. That's a very simplistic way. And through that, we can then show and tell people words of knowledge. I mean, that's amazing. For a start, that he exists. It's a big thing these days, creation, the whole thing that's battling against even the Bible. Creation, the Bible, fundamental things that we believe, they're under attack massively. But God, in his omniscience, is all-knowing. He has given us gifts to actually just flood out to us his facts and his knowledge that I exist. Words of knowledge is that you can almost tell someone this is going to happen. Be encouraged. Your wings are probably broken at the moment, but I'm going to come and make those wings whole again. Did you get that this morning? Precious Lord, he gives good gifts. It's revelation. This knowledge, it's not just through knowing your scripture. Knowing your scripture you can study, but there's something about God where he reveals things to us when you may not have an incredible knowledge of the Bible, but he speaks. Look at how he used Peter in Acts. Stood up and did that amazing sermon. Someone that's quite unschooled, a bit maybe unkept. I don't know if he's a bit rough, a bit ready, but oh, the Lord spoke through him. Amazing. Oh dear, the ankle. Sorry. Oh Lord. As a young boy, I could never understand the bit when people were talking in tongues. It used to make me a little bit kind of, when I was at meetings at Rora years ago, when there were lots of things happening and moving, and I was a bit confused. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring confusion. He brings a clarity. Doesn't he? You know, when they spoke in tongues and then it was interpreted to all the different the languages? I find that amazing. I find that amazing that the Lord was still wanting to speak in that upper room and in that room when they all dwelt together to those even from the outside. These aren't just confined to these four walls. Oh Lord, bigger things, isn't he? Bigger plans. The word of knowledge. It's by revelation, not from knowledge of scripture. It's supernatural revelation of his existence I've got here. The word of knowledge is an encouragement. Come with me into the story in the Old Testament. This has just been in my daily readings, reading about Elijah. Just come with me into 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Elijah was a prophet. And he was really under attack. And if you read through Kings and Samuel, basically it's, to do it in a nutshell, it's bad king, good king, bad king. That's not really a real comprehensive. Okay, I'll do some more homework. But I'm conscious of the time. But there is, it's a good king. And Ahab was a bad king, okay? He was a real bad king, and Jezebel, the wife, too. Let's just read the story here. This really just talks about how the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, can be an incredible encouragement. Chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Basically, Elijah had set this thing up of testing the gods that were dumb. Do you remember I read about dumb gods? There are plenty of dumb gods in the world now, okay? I may get an attack for that, but there are dumb gods. Then there's the living God, and Elijah set this thing up of a sacrifice. And he said, basically, in a nutshell, if your God or the Baal can come down and light this sacrifice, then everyone, all the prophets were there and they would have run to him. And then Elijah set up his sacrifice and he did it quite cunningly, because the old sacrifice used to have a little tunnel that would run underneath the sacrifice, and they used to cheat and light the fire underneath the sacrifice. Sorry, I'm going off on one now. But in actual fact, he got them to move the sacrifices out in an open area. So Elijah had his sacrifice there. And then all the wickedness and the prophets of Baal had their sacrifice. And then God, what did God do? You know the story. He came down, didn't he? Came down on Elijah's sacrifice. But what didn't he do to the other one there? Nothing. And they were crying out. And Elijah was kind of being a little bit stirrer. He was stirring things, saying, oh, why don't you call on him a bit more? Maybe you need to be a bit louder. Maybe, you know. And they didn't answer. But amazing thing. God came down, even when water was poured on those sacrifices, he came down and burnt it. Amazing. Anyway, that's the context of the story. Then, they still didn't hear and believe in God. I don't know if you come up against those people, you're thinking, how can you not see the miraculous work of the Lord and still not believe? This was the case. And then it goes on. Basically, he was getting chased then. Elijah was getting chased by Ahab, Jezebel. And they just wanted to kill him. And then it comes to this place here. And he goes away. And he comes to this place. Verse 4, chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And came and sat under, in my version it says a broom tree. Or a juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die. He got to this place, Elijah, where he basically wanted to breathe his last. So discouraged. Absolutely discouraged with all that had gone on. He said this, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. Then it happened again. Then it goes down to verse 11, then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind, I was thinking about this place here this morning, great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks and pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after a wind, an earthquake. And I was thinking of all these things that are going to happen. Elijah must have been waiting there thinking, oh, Lord, speak. For your servant hears. And then it goes on, it says, and after the earthquake, a fire. Still no Lord speaking then. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, what was there? Still small voice. That there, I believe, is the wonderful, wonderful voice of the Lord Jesus. That still small voice. Forget about the noise of the earthquake. And all that was going on, even the picture of the fire, it was that still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Sometimes you've got to get up, get in the place where the Lord wants to speak to you. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God asks the most straight question we often may avoid. And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord. And it goes on. They've killed your prophets, the sword. I'm alone and left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael and over king of Syria. And he goes on, and it says that he anoints the various people. And then he says this in verse 18. This is the thing that I find just so amazing. The word, the gift of the word of knowledge here. It says this. This is fact from God's omniscience of all knowing. He says this. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. All those whose knees have not bowed to Baal. And every mouth that has not kissed him. And in that there, I found that that is the Lord's amazing, amazing gift of the word of knowledge. Of fact. That he came and spoke to Elijah and said, you are not alone. You are not alone under that juniper tree. Well, mine just says a broom tree. And why? Because they used to take the little branches off it and use it basically to clean all their rubbish away. They'd make their brooms. And I was thinking there, sometimes you just got to brush all the rubbish away. Get up, stand in the cave and let the Lord speak to you. Amazing. And he brings that word of knowledge that really no one else, no other man could have said to Elijah, you've got 7,000 people still waiting for you. God comes in his all-knowing power and says, you've got them. They're there for you. I'm going to appoint a new leader. I'm going to appoint this one who's going to help. This one. I find that incredible. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord, in his knowledge, in his absolute all-knowing power, speaks through different people. Time. Now, another one is Philip under the fig tree. Do you remember that? Nathanael, amazed that the Lord said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. That's knowledge, isn't it? That's God all-knowing before. I've tried to work out what could we describe. I think sometimes when you talk about spiritual gifts, I sometimes think it can provoke two things. One, it can provoke almost an excessive reserve, where you almost can go into your shell and it's not my... Or it can do an excessive liberty. And Corinthians at the time was excessive liberty. There was chaos. There was. All things were going on. And Paul's basically saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to that voice. Then have an order where someone can interpret. Okay? And it was very much down-to-earth language. But what it does do is bring sometimes an excessive reserve. And I, for myself, sometimes thinking, if I don't understand something, it can bring an ignorance and also a reserve. But Lord, just through reading it, it's more like, no. Oh, the Lord has given good gifts for us to function. Are you with me on that? Oh. How do we describe them? I've described them like this. They are enablers and equippers. On my title of my Bible, it's spiritual gifts, which sometimes can give you this thing of it's such an elevated. They are enablers and equippers in your daily life. And importantly, when we meet together. Amazing. Now why? Going back to Corinthians, why do you think Paul started in, I'm going to read this incredible verses now, I haven't got time to go on, but what follows Corinthians chapter 1 verse chapter 12? What chapter? Just checking you're all still. If I was just to talk about spiritual gifts and leave it like that, I think it could almost be where you have that thing of, oh, it's just something that we just need to use here, there. It must be birthed in love. It's the biggest thing as I was reading about it. If it is not in love, then it just becomes this thing of almost an add-on, an appendage. It's got to be in love. Love for one another. Love to the Lord Jesus first. Then these things flow out. Listen to these. I mean, we hear them at weddings. Chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That is not a very nice sound. I've got a set of drums. I do have a set of drums. And the hi-hat and the cymbals, if you play them loudly and not in the right sequence, they are pretty horrendous. Maybe one Sunday I could... No. Here we go again. Listen to this. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. How straight is that? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it goes on and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. And I keep getting that image of the peacock with the feathers. It must never become like that. It does not behave rudely. Corinth at the time, there was rudeness. There really was, even in communion. Getting drunk in communion. Huge problems in that church, and I think this is why it's so straight and so honest, that love must undergird all of it. love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. We know in part and we prophesy in part. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? But when that which is perfect has come, Jesus, then that which is in part will be done away. I find that an incredible thing. I think when we think about enablers and equippers or spiritual gifts, we must have in sight that the Lord is coming back. And when he comes back, all these things that we know in part will fade away, but our glimpse and our glare will be on Jesus. And this morning I had such a strong feeling of the Lamb is amongst us. Precious Lord, I'm so glad that Paul wrote after chapter 12, he brings in chapter 13 of love, and then chapter 14, it's love and the gifts. Chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Can you see that? The twofold thing. And I was chatting to someone recently, we had a real big long chat about prophecy. And just in that, in the circles that he's in, there's a huge, huge emphasis on prophecy. Where they're basically almost wanting all the time to just to bring a prophet in to be able to talk. Bring a prophet in to reveal something. Oh, we just can only listen to the prophet. And it almost just, in some ways I was thinking, it's a bit of a strange one, but actually this is for all to be exercised. And the Lord gives as he wills. But I'm thinking, Lord, I offer myself up, Lord. Do something new. Again, going back to the thing that made me slightly sad was the danger can be that we can stifle out the time of when the Spirit, the Lord, can move in gifts, and we can replace it with just noise. Sometimes I just enjoy that silence when the Lord is actually just waiting for a little bit of a faith to rise from someone. It was for me as a young person. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes the silence is enough. When the Lord is here, the silence is enough. The other thing is that he does want to stir the gift within us, doesn't he? I've been so excited. I'm so thankful that I chatted to this brother about prophecy. I have a slightly different opinion on it. But in actual fact, what it does is iron does sharpen iron. And you do actually think, well, yes. Prophecy is one of the things, it does describe it as one of the best gifts to go out. But there's something about it, it's really, if we got the main thing is that it's God's amazing facts being shown to us. His omniscience. God's amazing all-knowing of all your situations that you're going through. He can speak to someone that can just bring that word of knowledge that can encourage. It can encourage you while your wings are broken. You can't fly at the moment. Amazing how the Lord works. Precious Holy Spirit. It's not things that are just kept up here and that we read about in Scripture but we don't actually practice. It's not. It's very real. It's real life, and it's real life in the week, in the nitty gritty. When you're getting your hands dirty, it's there that the Lord can bring in wonderful just words of wisdom for someone. A word of knowledge. Time is gone. The Lord has given us good gifts. I just want to pray. Is that okay? We can just pray. We've been so blessed this morning.